Welcome to the Scale Savvy Podcast with your host, Aaron Matthew. Dive into the journeys of business owners scaling their dreams into reality. We're talking big wins, real challenges, and the raw truths of growing a great company. Whether you're pushing to the next level or plotting your course, Scale Savvy is your go-to for all things growth. Fasten your seatbelts. It's time to get savvy, get inspired, and get scaling. Here's Aaron.
Welcome, savvy entrepreneurs, to the Scale Savvy Podcast, the show where we dive in deep into the roller coaster that it is to scale a business and to grow your business. I'm your host, Aaron Matthey, and each week we're here to unravel the mysteries and share the victories and tackle the challenges that come with growing your business to new heights. And we're not here just talking about all the success. We want to talk about the real challenges and dissect them and what we can learn from each other. And today I am super excited to have Aaron Bassett here with us from Fade in Full. Welcome, Aaron, to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So Aaron, tell us a little bit about what you do and how you started your company.
Okay. So right now I'm an owner operator of a barbershop. It was started in Buffalo, New York, where I cut my first heads. I learned how to do it on myself. Just pain from going to school with a bad haircut and wanting to fix it myself, because I've always been creative. I know how to draw and I know how to do stuff like that. So I could vision, you know, what a good haircut would look like. And once I began to do that on myself, I did that on people within my neighborhood. I was stealing some market share from the barbershop around the corner from me. So then, you know, they sent somebody around the corner to come get me. I started there when I was 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
I've been through a lot of trials and tribulations in this barber game. And I've made some pivots. I've tried some other things, but I have always remained true to the barber game. I opened my own shop at the age of 34 years old. And being a founder of a company definitely taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about leadership. It taught me a lot about dealing with all types of personalities. And we've been open for 8 years. We've hired over 30 people during our time. We've had several interns during our time, and we've been able to do some incredible things for the community in Buffalo, New York. And I'm forever proud of all of the effort that we've made toward our goal and all the contributions I've gotten from people along the way.
Well, that's awesome. I love that artistry that's in you. You've been able to carry that through. And it's pretty impressive to be hired on at 16 at a barbershop. That's awesome. That's incredible. What a way to get started in that industry. So you started grassroots up, it sounds like, from cutting heads before you were even hired to owning your own shop. Tell me a little bit about some of the biggest roadblocks that you faced that would help inspire other business owners to overcome some of their roadblocks as they're growing.
All right. So one common thing that stands out is when I was thrown in the fire at the barbershop at 16, I was self-taught. So there weren't many people that kind of, you know, pulled me to the side and showed me the right things to do. So I had to watch. And everything that I saw wasn't the right thing that I should have been doing along the way.
Yeah.
So unprofessionalism is one thing that plagues our industry. Even jumping into ownership, not necessarily having the right mentors or being able to go to people who I used to work for, because now I'm a competitor. So being in business, you know, led me to reading books. It led me to going to conferences. And once I began to do that, I was able to position myself around the right people, learn the right things through application and through, you know, listening. And there were so many challenges that are just unforeseeable, but I would advise everybody to just jump right in and do it, whatever it is that you want to do to reach that desired goal, and always stay around people that have been through what you're going through or know about what it is that you're going through.
Yeah, I think that there's no greater personal development plan than entrepreneurship, right? There's no better way to stretch yourself and find out where your challenges are and where your weaknesses are than to jump into business, I think, is the greatest way to be able to grow. Tell me a little bit more about what you're doing right now and what goals you're working towards.
So right now, I was able to get the barbershop to operate with less involvement from me. I was CEO, I was CMO, CFO, day-to-day manager. I've learned so much about this industry and about myself during the time of the barbershop. I wrote a book. It's called The Barber Blueprint. I go through the sales, marketing, the legal, the finance, the burnout. I mean, every emotion that you can possibly have as a self-employed professional and as an owner. I left the barbershop in order to pursue the goals of selling this book. And it put me in front of hundreds of barbers, several business owners. I was forced to pivot. The goal was to leave, sell the book, come back and run my shop, run our numbers up. Once I was able to get outside of my market and see how barbershops operate in different places, I realized that not only is there a blue ocean for me, the unprofessionalism that I was talking about is everywhere. It's not just in the city. So opening up, taking what we do, which would be the mid-level. So you have Supercuts, which is the low, and then you may have a high end where they do the petty, mani, and all that stuff. We're the mid-level quality for the regular working class people. Scaling that is the goal.
Got it. So open up new locations. Are you wanting to stay within your same geographic zone, or are you looking to grow more across the country?
Well, see, the reason why, so I'm currently in Austin. The reason why I'm in Austin is because I think my proof of concept is stronger in a bigger and growing market.
Yeah.
I love Buffalo. It made me. I got red, white, and blue Bills Mafia in my veins. However, you know, not a lot of people are checking for the amazing things that we're doing in Buffalo. Right. So, you know, I'd like to take my concept, apply it somewhere else, and show that it works. Plug and play, you know, no matter who's there, as long as they have good work ethic, good character, and we can trust one another within a team, it can work anywhere.
I love that. I think especially seeing that hole in your industry of noticing that, like, there's a lot of people out there that can be barbers, not a lot of people that can run a barbershop. There is a big difference, I think, between those two. And so I love that you're looking to fill that goal and help other people learn how to run that shop. You know, I think as you were talking about stepping away from the business, I think many of our listeners are in the spot where they're like, that's the dream. I want to live in the spot where I don't have to be in the shop every day. And having made that transition myself, and maybe you can speak to this too, having made this transition, but it is the dream, right? To not have to be tied to the business all day, every day, but it also comes with some unique challenges. And some of those challenges come from, okay, what's my next step? So it sounds like you've got that figured out, knowing that you're wanting what you're moving into. But it's also interesting to see how, when you leave, how it changes the business itself. So tell me a little bit about what you've seen happen in the business since you've stepped out.
Okay, so the culture definitely changes. The person that you leave in charge may be prepared for the business operating with no challenge. They may not know how to hire and fire people. They may not see, they'll see with a different lens because they have been an operator. Just because someone is a skilled technician, it doesn't necessarily make them a leader, and it doesn't necessarily make them a business owner, so to speak, right? So, you know, there are things that I may be able to see from afar that the person so close to it, it may be blurry to them. You know, I'm looking at Barber X, his performance, not just on the leaderboard. You know, numbers tell a story, but then I'm looking at the cameras. I'm looking at retention rates. I'm looking at even like some subtle things, like whenever we converse, you know, can I get this person on the phone? Are they easy to communicate with? You know, I may talk to some people's customers more than they do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just like, you know, and then behind the scenes, so like the person that I have in charge wasn't handling some of the financial stuff, right? So then there's even, you know, that story of like, I may, in real time, they may feel like people are coming in, you know, things are going good, but, you know, I'm looking at, well, I see the decline. You know, I see the tips going down. I see, you know, maybe we may have to change our marketing strategy. You know, it's easy for people to come up with a lot of different ideas, but for me, I'm looking at cost of customer acquisition? And even if we spend that money to attract customers, can this current team retain those people?
Yeah.
You know, the person in charge day to day may not be looking at challenges like that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So you did promote somebody from being a barber to running the shop. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I think that's an interesting thing that I've seen is I've been looking at a couple of different industries that are interviewing other people that have been in that same space. I've seen some people promote from within and some people actually hire someone that just has business and maybe doesn't know anything about hair, you know, doesn't or whatever that industry is. And it's interesting to see how the differences in those work. I think that it's possible to take somebody that is a technician and bump them up to becoming, you know, into that high leadership position. Because clearly that's what you did for yourself, right? Was to move from that technician role up to that leadership role. But sometimes it requires quite a bit of coaching to get there. Tell me a little bit about what you have done to help coach this new leader.
Great. So we have I have my book, The Barber Blueprint. It's a watered down version of what was our operations manual. So every year I would create a manual. The first one was very technical. A lot of the C-suite task and stuff, you know, that was in there and it didn't really resonate. So I had to kind of dumb it down to, you know, just how to service the customers. But the person that was in charge, you know, I would stay on them. We're doing our weekly meeting. We're doing our weekly call. You know, I'm asking them the questions about what's going on. You know, I'm showing him different videos, sending different podcasts, you know, different things so that we're thinking alike and he's seeing from a different perspective so he can kind of zoom out and not just look at the shop as, you know, me coming in to do my customers. You know, you're looking at this like a team. I would always explain it to him like, imagine this is like a basketball team or a football team and you are the coach.
Yeah.
You know, that concept seemed to resonate. Every time I put something in like sports terms, if I use like all these technical business buzzwords, it never lands. But if I put it in like, you know, a touchdown or a field goal or a first down or an interception, you know, he's like, oh yeah, I got it. So, you know, I guess that speaks to my ability to be able to communicate because that is key as well with your team and your leadership. You have to be able to communicate.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so key, being able to find what resonates for them for that coaching, because you really are the owner coaching the coach, right? On how to start helping them grow the team. One thing that you mentioned when we were talking before is that you wish you could do is to be there more to implement the process that you've outlined for them and trying to get the team to integrate the process that you want them to follow. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, just, you know, there's so many little things that we do in our business that I was doing it while I was there and it was driving the business while I was there. But when I leave, it may not get done. And then, you know, when you overlook those little things, like for instance, updating the leaderboard, like we have a calendar in the back. I have here's our best day. We did this many services. Here's our best week. We did this many services. Here's the rookie of the month. You know, first person that came in and did the most services. Now we're tracking it month over month. I'm looking at the cameras in the break room and then like, you know, the leaderboard hasn't been updated. And I'm like, well, I'm sending the numbers to the group chat. I taught you how to go into our system and, you know, see the numbers, but it's like, if we skip these things, if we act like the healthy competition within the team doesn't matter, then everybody just becomes like lazy, so to speak. People can hide, you know, if we don't put these numbers up there. If everybody can't walk in and look at who's winning and who's losing, then we're all losing.
Yeah. So I think one thing that is interesting that I think I'd love to dive into that a little bit more and see if we can help you problem solve that a little bit on the call today Tell me a little bit about how you're compensating that leader. Is he still, and for those of you that don't, you know, Aaron was letting us know a little bit about the barber industry and how it's about 55% off the top goes to employee costs. So it is a very high revenue share there that comes off the top. And so tell me a little bit about how you are compensating this new owner. Is he just getting a higher percentage or does he get some flat fees in there for running the shop?
So he gets a higher percentage. So we've tested this concept several times. So I've left for a month and then, you know, tested different leaders. Some lead better than others. Higher commission split and also a percentage of growth. Let's just say we hire new barber Y. They don't have the high commission split, but the shop can afford to take the upside of their, you know, so if they come in and they have their month, hypothetically, they do 30 people within a month. But under this leader's administration, they're up to 80. They get a percentage of the upside. And that is how we compensate.
Got it. Okay. That makes good sense. I think it's interesting because for each different role that happens in the barbershop, there's a different skill set, right? There's the actual skill set of, you know, can you cut the hair? Can you, you know, and that's something, of course, that everybody should have. I think one thing that's challenging is that I've seen in barbershops or in salons and that kind of stuff is that not everybody is a born salesperson. And that's where I think some of those differentiation happens, right? So I think sometimes when somebody's got their haircut and they're coming up to the front, you know, to close out their transaction, that's the spot, right? Where they should be offering them product sales. That's the spot where they should be collecting reviews and booking them for their next appointments. And all of those are more of those sales skills that I think some of these barbers or other people tend to shy away from. They're like, oh, that feels like sales. I just want to cut hair. Is that kind of the feedback that you're getting from some of these guys?
100%, because they go to, most of these people go to barber school. They only learn how to do the service. Yeah. And they're creative. You know, I can see through the lens of creativity. You know, I've been in the industry for a long time, you know, make music and things like that. So I understand the creative side. But giving people the best service doesn't necessarily make them the best barber.
Yeah.
There's, you know, a way that you communicate with people while you're servicing them. There's a way that you make yourself available, you know, like being on time, rebooking them. Leaving reviews. So like, yes, you want to get the review, but are you taking that review and are you posting it on your social to generate more leads?
Yeah.
You know, these are things. So it's like, I guess I may have quadruple processing because I'm just thinking of, you know, it can be a little overwhelming sometimes because not only would I give my customer my undivided attention, but I'm also looking at how they're interacting with their customers. Are they rebooking them? Are they asking for the review? Are they asking for referrals? You know, are they telling new people how to book them?
Yeah.
You know, like if someone is in the barbershop and they're talking about some urgent concern that they have with dyeing their beard or some dandruff they have. Okay, we have shampoo here. We have these products here. Why are you sending them somewhere else?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So like, you know, there's just so much. So I've talked to several business owners that say, I just want my barbers to be barbers. But I'm looking at them like so much more than just barbers, because if it weren't for me being a part of this industry, then I wouldn't know all that I know. So I want the same for them that I want for myself, you know?
Yeah, I think that's, it's interesting. I think as we are looking at strategies to help, I wonder what would help bridge that gap for them, you know, to show them, look, if you do these things, these are the actions that will come of that. You know, here's how that thickens your wallet at the end of the day, you know, by doing these different tasks. One strategy that I see a lot is to hire someone who is sales-minded to be a receptionist. And that receptionist is somebody that comes in and says, look, I'm going to call and confirm all the appointments. I'm going to track through our software to see when's the last time we have, you know, who haven't we, you know, serviced in 2 months? Well, we need to get those people back in, and they're proactively making those phone calls and setting those appointments. And who is getting paid, or, you know, how are we selling product? And I've seen some of those receptionists that are more sales minded and get paid on the commission of the services that they book and on the products that they sell and on the, you know, the number of reviews that they get. And then they will be the ones that post those reviews to social. So I'm wondering if maybe you've got some of those barbers that are like, you know what, all I want to do is just be a barber. I don't have that aspiration to really grow into the company. And even though you have that aspiration and you're like, listen, I'm all about this. I'm all about teaching people how to grow their own shop and how to, you know, how to, with your new ventures, that's what you're focusing on, is helping other people grow into that. But maybe some people just are not in that space, and that's okay. But that may be a solution to help fill that gap, is to hire a receptionist that is sales-minded. So those people that are like, listen, I want to be a barber and I just want to be a barber, there's a spot for them. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. 100%. We've considered that several times. So we hadn't hired anybody specifically for that position. We've used interns for that position, you know, trained them up a little bit. They weren't compensated. You know, we'd buy them lunch or something like that. So Aaron, we are in a small market. We're in a great location in a small market, but we're not doing high volume where we'd be able to. So we would have to put the chicken before the egg.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So hire that person, put them there, and then, you know, watch it grow, as opposed to, you know, just wait until it grows, then hire the person. That may not be the path to take. That is very, very, very valuable. So, you know, also with expanding into Austin, you know, there are definitely some changes that are going to be made to our business model here based upon what I've seen in other shops here. You know, we got some huge players. There's more than enough market share to go around. This is a growing population, and the weather is nicer year round here, as opposed to we have some times of the year where it just declines in Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, Q2, Q3 are our peaks in Buffalo. Here, I think it'll be a lot more steady.
Yeah, that's interesting. Business development, investing in that business development is always scary, right? It's always that risk of, okay, do I put out the money to get the sales coming in? I think it would be worth looking at as far as seeing if you could hire a receptionist that is more commission-based so that they are getting paid on performance. But I'd love that you're looking at the weather and how that impacts, you know, the flow. I've never thought about that before for a barbershop, that you would have a lower decline. People are like, you know, we'll just let this beard grow. We'll let this hair grow out, this beard grow out. It'll keep me warmer till the sun comes out again in Buffalo. Awesome.
It's an interesting place, Aaron. Have you been before?
I've never been to Buffalo. I've been to Austin. I'd love me some Tex-Mex. I think I could move to Austin just for the food, but I haven't ever made it up to Buffalo.
Yeah, you gotta try it out sometime. I suggest coming in the summer. I'm in the summertime.
Oh, I love it. Awesome. Well, it's been so wonderful to talk with you, Aaron. Thank you so much for being open and sharing it with us about living the dream and the challenges that come with the new dream, right? As it shifts and changes. So thank you for being so open and sharing with that. How can our listeners connect with you if they wanted to learn more and connect with you about your new ventures?
All right, great. I'm on Instagram at REALVALED716. That is my personal Instagram.
Awesome.
If you would like to book with us at the barbershop or apply for a job at our barbershop, fadeinfull.com. And we're also on YouTube, churning out the content at fadeinfull on YouTube. Those are the three best ways to get in touch with me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And there you have it. Another great episode full of strategies and stories and real systems challenges as people seek to grow. Before we go, just remember that scaling is not always about the destination of where you're going. It's about that journey and embracing those challenges and learning from the setbacks and celebrating all those milestones along the way. So thank you, Aaron, again, for being our great guest. And thank you to our dedicated listeners. Your support means everything to us. And if you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review and share with a fellow entrepreneur who's on their own scaling quest. So let's keep scaling and stay savvy together. Thanks again. Until next time, I'm Aaron Mathey.
Thank you for tuning in to the Scale Savvy Podcast, Navigating Small Business Growth. Remember, the path to success is within reach. Stay savvy and keep scaling.